There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
I don't know, Bob. After reconsidering, maybe Saquon and Franco is better than Dorsett and either Shady or Curtis Martin. If you take their entire careers. See, I think Franco might be the most underrated, overlooked running back in the history of pro football. I think he still leads in all-time playoff yards. And Franco was, in terms of his running style, one of the most versatile runners I ever saw. There's a great 30 for 30 or football life on him where he went and explained it like he wanted, and he was, a guy who could run past you. He was a big man, too. He could sprint past you. He could run over you when he wanted.
But he was smart enough not too many times.
Yes. He was also a cutback runner when he wanted to be. And he had a lot of shake to his game when he wanted to be. He was everything. Like a lot of guys are marked by one, you know, facet of their style. That was their calling card. Mm-hmm. He was a lot of different things, and he was a great clutch running back. And when he went to Seattle that year, he was poised to become, at that time, the most prolific running back in the history of pro football. He was going to pass Jim Brown. So if you match Saquon and Franco, I don't know that there's a college anywhere that could surpass that. Even Pitt, where I think Tony Dorsett is the greatest college running back in history. I do. And even with a great pairing of Curtis Martin or Shady or whoever, the big boy said Ironhead Hayward.
Ironhead is a good choice.
I don't think others. I don't think I could put them ahead of Franco and Saquon. I think I could.
It's probably an even race. But, I mean, Dorsett was just so good. And I remember going back to Hopewell High School, watching him when he was doing his thing. And that back then, Joe, in Austin, they only had one playoff spot. You win a conference, you get in, that's it. There are no two, three, four, all these different teams qualify. And they had teams that should have won but didn't because they, you know, lost a tiebreaker to a team. But during that time, Tony Dorsett, back then it was Tony Dorsett, didn't disappoint every single game. And he got his nickname because of his eyesight. He was playing basketball and someone called him Hawkeye after an opposing player lost a contact lens. And from about 20 feet away, he said, there it is right there. He says, and someone told him, Hawkeye. So Hawk became the nickname.
It's the eyes. Yeah, isn't it? Somebody told me Sid's personal trainer, Andy O'Brien, used to be anyway. I don't know if he still is. Told me that when they were training near Sid's hometown up in Nova Scotia, right?
Yes. Cole Harbor. One of the best places. You ever been there?
No.
It's awesome. Yeah, we went and he was kind enough to show us around. A really cool place.
Andy O'Brien told me they would run around a lake and that Sid could see small animals in the woods across the lake. I kid you not. And he wasn't kidding. See, a lot of it's in the eyes,
it is,
Bob.
If you have
in
that
the
vision,
eyes of the beholder.
You can see things before it happens.
I promise this.
He also has highs in the back of his head. Some of those passes
he
makes.
I got to get to this. A few years ago, Ben said something to the effect of, you know, part of him wished that Kenny wouldn't succeed because Kenny was succeeding Ben. And I remember saying at the time, that is a normal human emotion. I compared it to this station where I was put on the middays and Andrew Filipponi took my spot in the afternoons. Part of me wanted him to fail, Bob. I'll frankly admit that. We don't normally hear things like that. And I like Pony and I'm friends with him. And now we've all settled in and I'm glad that him and Mueller are a great team. And I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I think that's normal human emotion. And I don't think Ben deserved the heat that he got for that. Well, these years later, Ramon Foster was on with Ben. And this was Ramon talking about, you know, they were constantly trying to replace Ramon year after year. Mm-hmm. About how he would be on the sidelines, and when one of his teammates gave up a sack, well, maybe it wasn't all that upsetting to him. This is from the Footballin' podcast with Ben.
And in times where I would have to miss a week, I probably had a concussion or something like that. I never forget, like, this is the part where I said people probably look at me sideways. The guys I had that were my backups at the time, mm-hmm. I was in a place to where I wanted the team to win.
Yeah.
I wanted the offense to do good. Respectfully, because of my mindset, I don't want my backup to kill it.
Yeah. No, that's not, there's nothing to look, that's real.
It's selfish, but it's also the business when there's only so many of these jobs that you can get in my position, too. Like, I wanted the team to win. I wanted the team to do real good.
Sure, but I get it.
I get it, too.
You didn't want the team to do so good that your backup was great, and I get it in life, and I get it in sports, and it's part. I think it's part of being human. And not something that I would be, in my talking about my own experience, that I've been proud of. But I can't help a feeling that arises in me. If I feel resentment towards somebody that just took my job and I don't want them to do well, that doesn't mean I have to speak out about it at the time and say it or try to sabotage him. But I can't change that any more than I can change if I have a cold or something else brewing in my body. I felt resentment. He felt resentment, and he didn't want the guy to succeed. Ben, as humans do, looked at Kenny Pickett and said, that guy is my successor. Man, there's part of me that doesn't want him to do better than me, to succeed. I get it, Bob. It's human. That's what that's my take.
And, you know, just because he said it publicly doesn't mean he's bad at a human being here. This is,
but he
this
said
is
it,
real.
He said it years later.
Right. No, I understand. But in you know, in all of these cases, you want the job to be yours. Yes, you want the team. I agree 100% with what Ramon Foster said. And have to keep in mind his history, too, because he was an undrafted guy who had to earn everything he got to be in that position, to be in the league as long as he was. And so because he worked his butt off to get that, I'm sure he didn't want to see some guy that they drafted who is a higher pick by far get opportunities, and he beat him out. And he had to work hard. I think it's from where you come also that makes a difference. In his case, he had to earn it all, and so he didn't want to give that position up.
You ever been in that position in life, in work? You don't have to say who, where it was somebody who replaced you, who was in a position where you said, man, if he doesn't do well, that's good for me.
You know, not really, because, I mean, we've had the same. I've worked with Rich for how many years before that, Jory Rand. We've all had same goals here as far as, you know, what you're doing in your sportscast. And quite frankly,
not back in school, Bob, maybe on the JV football team at Hopewell, the JV golf team.
I can't remember that. No. Well, I will say this about a golf, since you brought this up, there was one kid on a golf team who, and listen, golf is a great sport because you learn etiquette and how to deal with things. And I love it for
that
reason.
There was this one kid at band camp.
Well, this kid though, he was not shy about telling you pretty much why you stunk. Why he thinks you're not good. I would never go that route. I would never tell. I believe in encouraging people. And if you do better, good for you. He would tell everyone, you guys stink. And down deep, that drives your competitive spirits. Okay, yeah, you think that? You said that? Let's go. And that's what you do. And so he never beat me out of my position on the golf team. Mostly because he brought it on himself. I didn't look to do that. So that's the one and only time I felt that way. Like, I got to prove to him again, and I will. If you're going to challenge me and tell me that I'm not as good, it's the way you present this whole thing, you know?
Right.
I'm not opposed to someone getting better, and if you're better, good for you. You know, Listen, I had to wait for a while at KDK to get position as that I've had. You have to just wait your turn sometimes. Do the work as best you can, and then hopefully people see it. And if they see it, then their decision is to make it.
I resented Ron for years and still do. All right, Bob.
Why?
Just because he's Ron. I appreciated that dose of honesty from Ramon. And I think that plays out everywhere from peewee sports to the pros and in life in general. Doesn't mean we're proud of it. It as Ben said, that's just real. It is sometimes, you know, if that's a way of life where you're constantly feeling that, that could be problematic, Bob. Coming up next. Oh, do we have a treat, Bob? Zach Austin from the Pitt basketball team played one of the most memorable games I've seen last night. As I mentioned earlier, this dude just had a block party. Did anybody mention like what the record is for blocks in a game?
He
for
had five blocks last night.
They seem to be of different varieties. I'm sure somebody's had more, but it was spectacular.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
Fast break. Austin. Off to Zach. Flying windmill jam. And the game is tied at 52. Panthers into the forecourt. Low drives. Kicks it out to the corner. Head fake by Austin. Three ball in the air.
Buckets.
Yes. 67-65 Panthers. Now Davis wheels out, wheels in, kicks it out to the corner.
Another
shot
block.
Blocked by Zach Austin. Out of bounds. Carolina has 8 to shoot. Zach Austin. The Skywalker.
Great call there by Bill Hillgrove.
Gotta love Hillgrove at age, 84? He still brings the enthusiasm, the knowledge, everything about it. Just great calls.
And as luck would have it, we have the Skywalker with us here on the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We have Zach Austin on the line. Zach, thanks for joining us, man. Congratulations on a great game.
Appreciate you having us, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. I mean, I've watched a ton. Everybody here has a ton of Pitt basketball, and that was one of the more memorable performances because I don't think I've seen a block party like that. You were swatting stuff left and right. Tell us about it. Have you gotten a lot of feedback, texts from people in your life since last night?
Yeah, a lot of people have been hitting me up, especially since it was against Carolina, since I'm a Carolina kid. Made a couple of people mad at home, but you know, it's H2P now.
Was there a favorite play from last night, the dunk or one block in particular? Because the dunk was great, too.
I probably have to say the last block I got. No, the block before last, the one on the fast break. I think that was the best one.
Well, despite all of that and your flying circus around, you've hit some significant threes. That one against Ohio State, I would imagine, still trumps anything just because of when it came, how it. But man, to want the three, you put your hands in the air on the one that I think Lowe, you know, penetrated and hit you. You seem to be in a position or a mindset that I want the ball. I'm here. Give it to me.
Yeah, I mean, I trust my work. I mean, I've been putting a lot of work on my jumper, in the off season. Trying to make sure I'm more ready and prepared for catch and shoot situations. And then having a point guard like Lowe, he always going to find you. All I got to do is really just knock down a shot.
Zach, being a Carolina kid, and I know you've played North Carolina at Pitt before, but did you have an extra jump in your step late primetime game with the blackout Oakland Zoo section? Was there a little bit more energy around you in this game?
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said it wasn't some more energy, you know, based because I'm a Carolina kid. I always want to, you know, go a little harder against them type of teams, you know, raise my performance against them type of competition. So it was always fun playing, you know, good teams and, you know, changing back home and then getting a dub is even sweeter.
Talking to Pitt's Zach Austin coming off a big win last night in which he was spectacular on a national stage. That was really fun to watch. The guy that just asked you the question, Zach, his name is Austin Bechtold. He's the producer of the show, and he fancies himself quite the video game player. I think he does play NBA 2K. And mm-hmm. I just read a story on you from when you were at High Point. You said that you credited your shot-blocking abilities to a training method, which is watching and playing NBA 2K14, and you even said, I honestly think I'm the best 2K player in the world. Tell us about that and how you've used that to help your game.
I play 2K14. It's like an older game. It's like, 11 years old now. So I play my player. That's like the only, thing you can play, by yourself since the servers are down. Been playing my player for like 11 years, so I really just focus on just trying to fill the stat sheet up and just try to just do a lot of things that's like not normal. So I try to like take certain aspects of that and just, you know, apply it to my real game. And then when it comes to 2K14, I stand on that. Nobody in the world could beat me.
That's a challenge.
That's a big challenge.
That's a big challenge. Will you take on this guy, Zach?
I don't know if you really want that.
Oh. I'm never one to back down from a challenge. Now, do you like 2K? You like 2K14 better than 2K16? That was a pretty iconic game too.
2K16 is a great game. I think 2K14 for me, the nostalgic factor, and that was like the first real 2K I actually played for. So that's always gonna hold a special place in my heart.
You know, everyone has a story, Zach, and I imagine you do too. And Jeff Hathorn was in here earlier talking to us about your number and how significant your number is to wear. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I wear the number 55 for my mom who passed away in 2017. She was 55 when she passed from like heart failure. But I just play every play for her, and just want to keep her name alive, you know, through this game of basketball.
Have you seen this team grown, Zach, from a year ago to where you are now with the run towards making it to the ACC tournament and eventually March Madness?
I think everybody has made significant steps, you know, to be a better team. And, you know, like our motto is leave no doubt. So I think everybody is trying to prove why we should have made the tournament last year and using that to fuel us to, you know, make the tournament this year. We was a little young last year. Then we was a little inexperienced with me. It's just now getting to the ACC. Then we had blow. You know, we was young. I think we learned a lot from last year. And we're just going to keep using what we learned last year to keep winning games.
Pitt's Zach Austin on the line, the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So, Zach, this has been an interesting season so far, and there's a story going around that after you guys had a rough patch lately, you lost four games in a row. And this is publicly known now, apparently. There was a players-only meeting. Who called it, and can you tell us anything about it? Like was it guys yelling at each other? What was it like?
Low called the meeting. It was kind of like right, you know, towards after the game against Florida State. You know, we just came to each other, you know. It wasn't no yelling or any back and forth or anything like that. You know, we had a civil conversation. We just want to get down to the root of the problems, you know, and get everybody on the same page so we can get back to win.
What did you guys agree on was the root of the problem?
Just putting our head down at work, playing harder, playing for each other. Just doing the little things to help us win, more 50-50 balls, you know, a little boxing out a little more, and just really communicating on the defensive end.
Well, I think we saw that in the second half of last night. What was the difference? You guys had given up 44 points in the first half, and I know they got hot at one point from the outside, but in the second half, even though they started the first couple of minutes hitting shots, you pretty much shut them down completely to the point where they only got 21 total points in the second half. Was that part of your discussion at halftime, and what changed?
Yeah, that was a big part of talking at half. We knew that it was a good offensive team, You know, they run four guards. They're going to run the court, you know, get the ball out and try to push it. And I think some of the ball screen things they was doing was really messing up our coverage. So we just decided to switch everything. And then we didn't have to worry about, you know, we had to stay out of rotations. We didn't have to worry about that anymore. We just had to sit down and just guard the yard, you know, and I think we did that, you know, to the best of our abilities in the second half, and they got the result that we got.
Zach, I watch a lot of basketball, NBA, and college, and I don't know that I see too many guys in a game block threes the way you did. It seems like, especially in the pros, it's like, oh, did he jump into the guy's space? They're just waiting to call fouls on that. I don't want you to give away any secrets, but how do you get out to block a three without invading the shooter's space, without risking a foul call? I mean, that was incredible.
I think just I really don't know. I just jump and just put my arms up and just hopefully I can get a piece of the ball without, you know, invading his personal space, his landing space, so I don't get a foul. I think just playing hard. That's really all I can say. I just jump and try to block the shot.
But it seemed like you jumped to the side of the guy right, and still blocked right. it. That's what it looked like. Right?
Yeah, I try to do that as much as I can. Because, you know, you put a fingertip on a guy and they shoot a jump shot, they're going to call a foul. So I try to stay out.
Exactly.
I try to stay out the way.
Zach, a lot of people are calling you one of the most athletic players that have played at Pitt over the last 15 to 20 years. What's your relationship like with Coach Capel, and what's he like in some of those waning moments in the last 5 minutes of games to help will you guys to victory?
I mean, I appreciate people saying I'm one of the most athletic people, but I don't know if I'm up there with Sam Young. I done seen some couple dunks that Sam Young did, and I don't know if I can do those. But me and Kate's relationship is great. You know, he's a North Carolina guy too as well. So he's just telling me go out there and make a play. Him and JC, they just say go out there, be you, you know, run around, you know, make an impact. That's the main thing. Make an impact, be consistent, lay your head on the defensive end.
I love the fact that you've looked at Sam Young highlights. He had the greatest pump fake in college basketball history.
Everybody thought he traveled or jumped.
Last summer he got us with some pump fakes. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, that's good.
I like that. And then have you also seen highlights of dunks by Julius Page against Georgetown, and of course Jerome Lane when he shattered the backboard? Is that can you do that? Would you try that in a game to take down the whole thing?
They done fix the backboard.
Yeah, you can't do it anymore.
Impossible.
It's not going to happen. No,
it's not. I don't know. It might not be impossible, but
that's a goal. I can tell.
Give it a try. Give it a shot.
Send it in, Zach. Send it in.
I like that.
Right. Well, let me ask you about your vertical leap. First of all, what is it? And second of all, how do you get it to be that whatever it is? And I ask this as someone who's trying to increase his. I can't get off the ground too much.
Bob's vertical is 1 inch.
Let's not go there, Joe. Go ahead.
I think it's upper 30s, low 40s maybe. I don't really know off the top of my head. But I really ain't do much to work on my – I wasn't always, like, this athletic, especially in high school. I think that's part of the reason why I was a late bloomer. It came as I grew up. But I really ain't do nothing. I was just hooping every day, running around, I ain't never asked my peoples for a ride. I always used to walk everywhere. So I think that helped the calves, you know, help the bounce.
That reminds me of something else from your story. It almost had like a Michael Jordan feel to it because you played on the JV team for 2 years in high school before you even made varsity. Mm-hmm. Like what kept you, you know, sticking to it and working? And I imagine at that time you probably weren't thinking you were going to play Division I ball, were you?
Not really. Growing up, I really wasn't like a sports guy. Like I was a wrestling fan. Like I always wanted to be like in the WWE. And then I came to middle school. I started off playing football, and then one of my friends was like, let's play basketball. I had never played basketball before. So I tried it in middle school, but I really didn't get on a team until eighth grade. That was my first time playing like organized basketball, and that was only 8 games. So,
wow.
Favorite personality WWE would be who?
I'm like John Cena in 05.
You know what? Carolina thinks you're more like the Undertaker. You just came out of nowhere and just all of a sudden blocked everything in sight, and they have no chance. Well, that would be interesting.
Limits, you should introduce this guy to Donnie Football. He's a big wrestling
guy. And Mueller would love the wrestling conversation.
Zach.
Hey, I'm a...
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
No, go ahead.
I was just saying I'm a big wrestling guy.
So down the road, would you ever rule that out if there was a place? You have to go through training for that. I know a lot of guys who've done that.
Yeah, I think that time has passed.
Really. Okay.
Well, Zach, we really appreciate the time. It was a memorable performance last night, and I have a feeling you guys have more of those in you. Thank you for joining
us.
Yeah,
thanks, Zach. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
See you, man. That was fantastic, Bob.
What a nice guy, huh? Works hard, late bloomer, never stops, and now here he is, one of the more significant games that we've seen in recent years.
I really enjoyed that conversation. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cookin' was brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Bob, I'll see you tomorrow. City Limits, I'll see you tomorrow. You did a wonderful job with the show today. I have to say that.
I appreciate it. And I leave you guys with this.
Zach Austin! And Zach Bunker! Austin! Zach Austin!
Oh my! Yell goodness, it from the hills.
Win it.
See you tomorrow,
See
Bob.
You guys. Good night.
See ya.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.